Husbands and wives have a solemn responsibility to love and care for each other and for their children. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Parents have a sacred duty to rear their children in love and righteousness.
We welcome you to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm Matthew O. Richardson, second counselor in the Sunday School General Presidency, and today we will be talking about roles in family life. I'm joined by Elder Shane M. Bowen of the 70. Welcome, Elder Bowen.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
It's a privilege to have you. We get a chance to work together in the priesthood department, and I have to say that it's been a privilege for me to learn from you.
And I have learned much from the Sunday School.
Oh, you're so kind. I'm going to have you introduce our other guest because it's someone near and dear to your heart, and you know her very well.
This is my sweetheart, Lynette Bowen. She was a Mortenson from St. Anthony, Idaho. We've been married nearly 36 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you. She is the mother of our 7 children and the grandmother or the nana of our almost 13 grandchildren. And she is a saint.
I can see that just by looking at you, Sister Bowen.
Oh, you're so kind.
But you know what? They say misery loves company. So I'm assuming that sainthood also loves company of other saints. That would be fair, wouldn't it?
You can see that just by the way he treats me. He's my prance and hint, I call him. Treats me like royalty, always, and he's my love.
Well, I'm excited to learn from your experience, both from your marital experience, but also with your family experience. When we talk about the context of roles, this is an important element because it helps establish expectations, parameters of which we operate. It helps us in our daily living. And that's one of the things Gospel Solutions for Families is intended to do, is to help individuals to live family and married life every day through a gospel perspective. So I'm anxious to learn from you. I think that we're in a day and age where families are under attack. As a matter of fact, I'm reminded, and I brought a quote from President James E. Faust, and he said this: "In my opinion, members of the church have the most effective cure for our decaying family life." That right there caught my eye. Okay, wait a second. We know that family is under attack, and we know that there's a lot of problems. I'll be honest. I teach classes at a university with young adults, and one of the things that scares them the most about marriage is the failure of marriages. It scares them. Why would I want to enter into an enterprise that's failing so much? And they draw upon sometimes their own experience of family life. And so they're aware of the decaying family life. But here is President Faust saying, here's an effective cure. And then he says this. Here's the cure. Quote, "It is for men, women, and children to honor and respect the divine roles of both fathers and mothers in the home." End of quote. I don't want to put you on the spot, but what's your reaction to that? I think that's a fascinating quote. We're under attack. Let me tell you a cure, and here's a cure dealing with roles in the home. Any reaction or thought to that?
You know, when I think about that, I think to myself, where does the church find its protection? And the protection in the church is found in the councils.
Oh, okay.
One man, even a stake president, can make mistakes. But if he has 2 other men, his counselors, in agreement, the likelihood of a big mistake is even less. If you have a high council, 15 men that have received the revelation, then there will be very few big mistakes made. I think that comes right back, and this is what President Faust was saying. The most important council is in the church is the wife and the husband. And so in our roles as husband and wife, if we are always in agreement, or if we seek the Lord, if we try and do it alone, we can make mistakes. But if we will seek His counsel, He will teach us the same things. And so by counseling together, we can have the safety of knowing that our Father in Heaven approves. Sometimes I've heard men say, well, I direct our home, and because I hold the priesthood, we're right, going to do it this way. That's not what the Lord has taught us. If we have a decision to make in our family or in our marriage and we can't come to the same opinion, then the answer to us has just always been, give it more time.
Oh, this is good.
And work on it longer. Because we know that the Holy Ghost is going to teach us the same things, and he's the messenger of the Father and of the Son. And so again, if we will take our concerns to him, we don't have to make, now we're certainly not perfect, but we don't have to make big mistakes. And if a man thinks that he has more inspiration from heaven than his wife, then I'd say amen to the priesthood of that man.
I was going
to
say, DNC section 121 has a little bit to say about this. And, you know, another part to that is, which you're saying is, I think, so great, is not only do we need to rid ourselves of any domineering influence or this, I like this together part, but also section 121 says is the great secret is that the blessings are always connected to heaven, is we must have the Spirit to guide and direct us in our counseling. So it's not just husband and wife counseling together, well, they do that, but it's also combining that with our Father in heaven and the Spirit to counsel, because if it's a covenant relationship, the way I understand it, it's not just one and two, but it's one, two, and three that enter in that sacred covenant. So having the counseling of the Spirit, this is really, really great. So let me ask you, where do you find in your own experience that you counsel? How does that work? Do you sit down, it's Sunday evening, honey, it's 10 o'clock, it's time to counsel together. How does that look for those who maybe are saying, yeah, this is great, but how do we do this? How have you found that happening, unfolding in your own marriage and in your family?
Well, it's never really been formal. Maybe family home evening would be okay. The most formal setting that we'd talk together and discuss needs and what upcoming events and problems maybe that we have in the home. But usually it's just day-to-day talking, I guess. Our number one topic in our conversation almost always is our family, our children. You know, how are they doing? What can we do to help?
Did that stop as soon as your children left the home and were married and saying, oh, okay, there goes three, so we don't have to worry about them anymore. No more counseling for them. I'm teasing, of course, but I think this is important because some people get it in their mind is my role ends as a parent. Well, actually, they'll say my role ends as a husband and wife when we have children because now I'm a father and a mother. And my role as a father and mother ends as soon as my children leave my home. You know, how does this work?
We've gone from 2 to 26 now.
Oh, wait, so it's not a dwindling.
We have a lot more to counsel about.
A good rule of thumb, every time one leaves, the time doubles.
Oh, this is great. So tell me a little bit more about that, because I know there are a lot of people are saying, this is so good, this is so good, but how does this work? How do we do this? How do we talk about this? How do we counsel? How do we let this unfold? When do you do this? Because I know that you're both so busy. I mean, this is an interesting thing but I'm busy, so I can't do this. If I had more time, then we would counsel. But how have you found that working in your own marriage?
I think one of the greatest counseling times, and it's interesting because counseling comes from him as well as with us, but temple time.
Oh, okay.
Temple time is a time of revelation. And it may sound selfish. We go to the temple for our ancestors as well, but we go to the temple always looking for answers, always taking questions to the temple. So as you sit there for an hour and a half or 2 hours, whatever it is, it takes the time that we talk together. I think it's less time because we become one because we're on the same wavelength.
Oh, I like
Does
this.
That make sense?
Oh, absolutely.
And so, you know, there really aren't, we think alike, and maybe it's because we've been married for 36 years, but that's what I would say. I think that's one of the great blessings of a marriage is that if temple worship becomes a regular, I don't want to say a routine, but a regular occurrence, then I think that revelation flows to the marriage.
I wonder if the context of the temple really helps that, because I love what you said. I hadn't thought about this until you were saying this, is I hope this doesn't sound selfish. And I'm thinking, I wonder if the fact that we're going to save our kindred dead and we are providing service sets up the context for us to be able to be in a way to receive inspiration to help and save our own marriages and our own family. So the dead and the living actually work together in a unity, allowing one to play off the other in a wonderful setting.
Adds new sense? Meaning to the hearts of the children shall turn to their fathers and their fathers to the children, doesn't it?
It really does.
He's saying it that way.
And I remember Elder Bowen, I mean, this was back in, and I think it was 1918, he was talking about this. He says, That turning applies just as much this side of the veil as the other side of the veil. Is there's something going on? There's an interchange and an interplay between those on that side helping us on this side, and our relationships on this side must turn as well to each other. I love this. This is so nice. And I'm just going to throw something into the mix on this one. As you were speaking, I'm thinking, you know what? This is so true. Temple worship is so critical. And I've also found, at least in my experience, and I hope I'm not off base on this, so many things that we have learned together and inspiring experience come from driving home from the temple. So it wasn't just what happened while we were in the temple together that we were receiving revelation, but it's almost like the conduit was opened. We're continuing discussions. Does that make sense? Is inspiration coming in our car as we're talking together, and then we're a little bit more free to talk, you know, about specifics in our family, and all of a sudden it seems as if it's our car becomes a revelatory experience. We might need to get a new car, a better car.
Maybe
I don't know.
To move further from the temple that you attend.
Oh, there's a far.
That could be that.
Keep driving around the block.
Or go to a, there's.
Well, and I think too, Matt, what happens is we do that, Heavenly Father understands that we're serious and that we're looking for revelation. And he wants to talk to us. And I think most of the time, we're the ones that block the revelation. It's not a matter of him saying, I don't want to. But when we open ourselves to that, I think we take a piece. I know we take the temple with us in our covenants and the things that we've promised. And then it opens that conduit. So that makes all the sense in the world, what you just said, that revelation flows.
I love this. And I think as parents in a home, a father and a mother, they also are teaching about roles as they attend the temple. And their children start to see that this is an important part of living, not just a checklist experience, but it's part of who we are. And I think that they learn that. I'll have to admit, probably my most favorite building in the entire world is the Salt Lake Temple. And part of that's because when I was just little, I must have been little over five years old. I used to think my father had connections. Somehow he got us past what I called the guard huts through the wall. And this was before when the wall went all the way around the temple. And I remember putting my hands on those cold stones as just a young boy. And that building spoke to me as a little boy. And it has never left me. But that experience, I thank my father for standing by and making that happen. Something as simple as helping me see the importance of a temple. My father was a convert to the church, and so this was a meaningful thing for him. Anyway, to have that experience, I think what you're saying here is so important. Is part of our roles as parents is to be able to help our children and each other see these meaningful experiences.
Let me share a quote with you from President George Q. Cannon, and I think this is what you're talking about. He says, by saints refusing to be led by the influences of Satan and not yielding to his seductive temptations, he is virtually bound so far as they are concerned. And when the head of the family can attain unto this power and persuade his wife and family to do likewise, the power of Satan will be bound in that habitation, and the millennium will have commenced in that household. And if all should take this course, man and the earth would soon be prepared for the coming of Jesus and the ushering in of the full millennial glory and the complete binding of Satan, all of which glory they would already have a foretaste. So I think that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Your parents bound you.
That's right.
To the you felt you had spiritual experiences early, and the desires of your heart, I believe, were to do the right things. Sometimes we say, oh, I'm looking for the celestial kingdom when we can be happy. What this says to me is, no, we can have joy in this life. And by allowing and inviting the Spirit in and having our lives in harmony with God's plan, joy is now. If you're not happy now, I think you need to analyze and say, what do I need to change? If we're saying as a family, life is miserable right now and we're all miserable, but someday we're going to be happy, we aren't understanding that.
Isn't that a great joy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that we are blessed right now as well as planning for a future? This is wonderful. In Doctrine and Covenants in section 68, the Lord is preparing the saints for Zion. And I love this. He doesn't just say, here's where Zion is, now go move in. It's, he kind of says, here's the vision. let's get you ready. Because Zion was never just strictly geographical location only. It's an inside-out experience. The people living there create the Zion. So the Lord prepares and prepares and prepares. And then in section 68, it comes and says, those who are parents in Zion. And it says, look, you need to understand, you have a responsibility. Or in other words, you have a role in Zion as a parent. And in Doctrine and Covenants section 68, it says that role is actually, it talks about teaching. It says, this is verse 25, inasmuch as parents have children in Zion or any of her stakes which are organized that teach them, meaning their children, not to understand the doctrine of repentance, faith in Christ, the Son of the living God, and of baptism and the gift of the Holy Ghost by the laying on of hands when 8 years old, then it says this is fascinating to me, the sin be upon the heads of the parents. And singular there, the sin. It seems very clearly the Lord saying the sin of not teaching your children will be upon your parents. You have a sacred role. And in the next verses it'll say, and to teach your children to walk uprightly. That's a husband's role. That's a father's role. That's a wife or a mother's role. So if this is the grand responsibility of Zion, help me understand this. And so how have you done this? How have you found in the role of teaching children? This is so important that the Lord's saying, it's a sin if you don't teach your children. And I actually believe this is so true. So help me with this. Sister Bowen, how have you gone about this great, wonderful opportunity and responsibility?
Well, we try to focus on doctrine when we teach our children. If you teach children doctrine, they'll know, they'll want to behave correctly. I just think it's so important to teach them the why.
Oh, this is really good.
The plan, make them want to obey the commandments. And just going along with what Elder Bowen said about binding Satan in our home, we teach them the way we have the millennial glory in our home is by having the Spirit in our home.
Okay.
So this is why we treat each other with respect. This is why we don't watch certain things on TV because it offends the Spirit. This is why we don't use profanity, why we are obedient, all these reasons. But they need to understand the why, because when we have the Spirit, we have joy. That's mm-hmm. where the joy comes.
This is so good. As a matter of fact, I love what you're saying here, and I'm just going to underscore because it's so beautiful, is many parents are very good about teaching the what's, and they teach the rules. We do not do this. But very rarely, as you're saying here, I think there's great power, very rarely do they connect the what with here's the reason why we don't do this or why we do this. So mm-hmm. So I'm assuming that's kind of an intentional aspect on your part. Is that safe
yes,
to say?
I hope so.
Yes,
I haven't always been that good at it. I admit it. You know, you look back and always wish, you always know that you could have done better. I guess that's human nature.
Well, I think that's actually a good thing, because I think that means that you're getting better.
Whenever you can look back and say,
I wish I would have done a little better, we've progressed.
Yeah.
And yes, we would do it differently now because we know more, we've experienced more, and we are better creatures. Maybe I'm too positive on that one, but I think that that's the case.
I think so too. As you were talking too and going along with what Lynette said, I would always rather see a sermon than hear one.
Oh, this is good.
And I remember growing up, we talk about section 68, the purpose of all of that is to return us back to our Father. And the way we return to our Father is through making and keeping sacred covenants
right.
that begin with baptism and end in the temple. So again, the temple is so important to me. And I remember as a little boy watching my mother iron their temple clothing. I didn't know anything about it, but I knew that it was important to them. And so we've tried to do the same thing. We've tried to let our kids catch us going to the temple. And again, not so much do this and don't do that, but hopefully by the lives that we're living, and we're certainly not perfect, but hopefully by the lives that we're living, they can say, I have seen the sermon and haven't just heard it. Many times you hear the sermon and it's gone.
You know, and I think that there's so many levels of this. In a previous episode here on Gospel Solutions, we talked about roles in marriage and family, or just marriage, excuse me, husbands and wives. And listening to you speak, I'm thinking, well, where do they learn how to be a husband or where do they learn to be a wife? Well, they can go through the media or the world or Satan's constant bombarding experience of here's what's happening. And the portrayal of that is really, in my opinion, quite disturbing. Or they could be learning it from the sermons in the home, from the great role of parents to teach, not just say, okay, tonight we're going to have a lesson on baptism. Here's how baptism works, although that is very critical and important, but also here's, by the way, what a husband does, and here's how a husband treats his wife, and a wife treats her husband, and they see those sermons. This is a powerful aspect of the role of a parent.
And if a husband doesn't understand that there is never, never a time to physically, verbally, emotionally abuse his wife and children, he doesn't understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. And a man that would be involved in any of those aspects will be answerable to God. And it's sad, I have seen even missionaries coming into the mission field that have never seen what a marriage is really like. We had one sweet sister that said, when I came into the mission field, I didn't want to ever get married.
Right.
Because why would I want to be married to a man that comes home and beats me, comes home and does these things? So again, I think that our children, and we have a sacred role. I mean, God loves us and he's given us these sacred spirits to come. We need to recognize that it's not about us, but it's about raising them up and setting the proper example, and that we will be answerable for that.
I love this. We said in a previous episode, the very essence of the word role is, it's the connotation, it's part of a whole. And I like what you're saying here is, a marriage is a critical aspect of family. There's no doubt about that, a critical foundational piece. But as a family starts to come, when children enter the home, it becomes part of a greater whole as well. And all those pieces, if I understand correctly, must work together for the joy. This is what God does so nicely, is he is all things. He models this so wonderfully in every aspect.
Exactly. No, I think you're right on.
You know, in 1999, the First Presidency issued a letter to be read to every member of the church worldwide. It was one of those letters we read over the pulpit, goes to priesthood leaders, etc. I remember the first time I heard that read, it really struck me. I was in a position where the context was relevant. It was dealing with families. And as part of that letter, it says, "We call upon parents to devote their best efforts to the teaching and rearing of their children in gospel principles, which will keep them close to the church." Now here's another line here that I think is interesting. I'd love to hear your reaction and comments of this, where it says, "However worthy and appropriate other demands or activities may be, they must not be permitted to displace the divinely appointed duties," I kind of look at that as roles here, "that only parents and families can adequately perform." To me, that really stuck out and said, wait a second, the Lord's saying there's divinely appointed roles here and only you can do this. Any thoughts or counsel on this?
I think it's a matter of spending time together. I think that's what I'm seeing in that. You know, we get our children involved in so many activities outside the home and maybe allow them to do so many things that are,
you know. And they're good activities.
Yeah, can be good activities. That's true. But is it taking away, or do we ever sit down and have dinner together because someone's at soccer practice and someone's at dance lessons and whatever it might be?
Right.
You know, and I think we all have seen times like that in our lives. One of our greatest blessings was when we were called to serve in the Spain-Barcelona mission. We took four of our children with us to Spain, and suddenly there were no dance lessons. They didn't have organized sports in their school. And we sat down and had dinner together every night. And you'd think a mission president wouldn't have time for his children because he's so busy with the mission. But it was really pretty much the opposite for us, because they were home at night on time for dinner. And we made it a point that that's where we were in the evening. And we would sit down and have gospel discussions. And our children were closer than they ever were before the mission. And we were just together. We were kind of forced into it, but it was such a big blessing. I think we realized we don't need all that stuff.
So eliminating distraction can be a very critical key to being able to see our divine, these higher roles perhaps, and fulfill them in a way. Is that correct?
Definitely.
And that can be taken to extremes as well.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's where we need to keep the balance. We could say, well, this is just about my family and I'm in it for my family. That's not what the Savior was teaching. We want to reach out and bring the good, but again, that's the balance. And that's why the counseling has to be with husband and wife and with a family. We talked about husband and wife counsel, a family counsel. What is important to us as a family? What will lift us and strengthen us. But again, I guess the key is the balance, because you could go one way or the other.
I like this. As a matter of fact, I heard a term once when I was a teenager, and I was like, oh, that doesn't sound quite right. And yet I understood it. It was the term bishop's widow. And someone says, oh, well, I'm a bishop's widow. And I thought, what does that mean exactly? And then I started understanding is what was taking place is maybe the balance was a little bit off, is where this bishop was doing his very best to fulfill his bishop role, but allowing another role of husband role to take a back seat in a way. And when you were speaking, Sister Bowen, my children would laugh because I always do this, because I was tempted to do that as you're talking, because
the balance.
And I always say to my kids, and they kind of roll their eyes, and then their mouths move with my words. They've heard this so many times. If you're doing this, that means you're not doing this. So you need to be able to make sure you're choosing the best part. You know, and I think that this is the continual assessment in everything we do is, how do we do this? I think of when I was first called as a bishop, it was where, and I love what you're saying, because I'm looking back and I'm thinking, oh, I think we might have done this right. We counseled together and say, how do I do my role as a bishop in that sacred responsibility without sacrificing my sacred responsibility as a husband and a father and a community member and providing for my family temporally and being able to balance that.
See, and I think what you said too is important, because sometimes things that you do in the community are more rewarding than with the family, because all the glory's there and you get the pats on the back. Usually with children, you don't get too many pats. That comes later.
At a eulogy, perhaps.
Yes, maybe at the funeral. But the same in your church work. You can serve as a bishop or a stake president or whatever your calling is and find a lot of joy in that and lose yourself in that, but you were never called to lose your family. So again, probably raising that family is one of the more difficult things and requires that time. But I don't think we can ever be deceived by thinking, well, I'm doing a wonderful job in the community and my work and in my church, and so that somehow compensates for the loss that my children are experiencing.
Well, that reminds me of the famous phrase, and I don't even know if I can do it in English, because I learned it on my mission, is no success in other places can compensate for failure in the home, or something close to that. I could do it in Danish pretty right on. And I think what you're saying is exactly right, and the temptation is, and I think that the gospel of Jesus Christ is, no, I take this back, I don't think. It is very clear on the direction, is there is a clear line here, is there is nothing else that can replace. And that's in this letter. No one else can do the job that is that divine role that has been given to families. This is a sacred responsibility. But also my experience, it's a sacred opportunity and blessing.
I love a quote from President Packer, and I'll probably misquote him, but he says, "Brethren, I don't care how well you treat your wives and children, it's not good enough." And that always brings, and that's true. That's true. And so, again, as we make our way through life and are developing in our careers or whatever it is, we can't forget our children. Children are like an investment. You have to invest early if you expect a return. And that early investment is your time and love and care for them.
That is so good. Now, I'm assuming then that children also have a role within families. Any thoughts on that? What is the role of a child or siblings? They have sacred roles, correct? What have you experienced in your own family of those roles, and how do we as parents nurture children in their roles in that greater whole of how a family interacts and lives?
I think that's so important that they learn that they have a responsibility in a family. Everyone wants to belong to something, and sometimes that's how youth get out of into problems, is they want to be a part of something, so they join a gang or they want to fit in with their peers. But I think it's so important that each family member understands how important he is in that family, and that he shares in the work and in helping each other and serving each other. To me, that's the role of the children, is to learn to serve and to learn respect for their parents too. I think the respect has to be taught, and they can't learn that unless we show respect to them. We listen to them, and what they say is important to us.
That's
as
good.
Well. I think that, and that respect is modeled by the respect husband and wife show for each other.
Do you find, Sister Bowen, that you still do that with your married children, that you are still modeling and still having that role within the family to help them understand their role, even in the larger scope now?
Definitely. Probably more than they'd like me to. That's the hard part. You want to hold back a little
balance,
because
they're,
actually they're doing such a great job already. But
isn't that rewarding to see?
It is. It is very rewarding. I don't think there's anything more enjoyable than to watch your children as parents. And sometimes it's a little bit of payback when they're struggling. But no, they are. It's wonderful to see that. And we do. When we get together as family, we counsel together with our married children, and we enjoy that a lot.
That's nice.
It's been interesting to see the relationship change. As a father and a mother, you feel like a father and mother. As your children get married, they become almost like your brothers and sisters.
Right.
That relationship is they're your friends, and you can counsel with each other. It's marvelous, and that's why it is. It's fun to get together with our married children and hear their insights and see what they're learning, and not always have to be the teacher. We become the learners.
We're learning a lot
from our
children.
It sounds a little bit like heaven, what you're describing. It sounds a little bit like heaven. And we are sadly just right on the edge of our time. But I, when you were talking, Elder Bowen, there right at the very end, it just triggered a thought. And I just like you to share what are some of the great blessings that you have experienced in your own life, where you've seen roles appropriately discovered, understood, and implemented in marriage and family. What are some of the great blessings that come from these living these divine roles as God intends, just from your own experience, Sister Bowen?
Well, I think of the role of being a daughter of God is the most important of all. And we are all children of God, and we all have different parts in that. We have different roles in our life, different scripts
right.
that we follow as our situations are that we're born into. But just that's the most important role of all, to understand the divinity that is within us, that we can accomplish anything, and that His plan is for our happiness.
And how has that blessed you personally in your life, knowing that? I can feel it. I can see it with you.
It's just like my guiding star, you know.
It
when that becomes your most important priority to get back to Father in heaven, you want to do the right things. You want to follow the prophets. You want to learn from the scriptures and pray and do all those things that bless your life so that you can enjoy that spirit to guide and direct you. It's just
That's good. Good.
It's
thank
just
you.
Beautiful.
Elder Bowen?
I think as my life goes on, the scripture that we read in Doctrine and Covenants 25:10, this is the counsel to Emma, but giving up the things of this world for the things of a better.
Don't you just love the wording of that?
I love
the
it.
Things of a better.
Wow. And see, and maybe that's what age does to you, but suddenly the things, the stuff of this world seems like stuff, but the things that are permanent are the things that we receive from God by making covenants, and everything that we have in our families are permanent, and so it makes me want to spend my time there. I find joy there. The other things are, we need to do them to get through, but I think man is that he may have joy. And that's what family is. It would be impossible for me to have joy eternally without my sweetheart, without my queen, and without my family. So I think with time, what I have realized is that there's reality and there's stuff, and I want the real, the real lasting, and that's family and covenant.
Oh, that's so good. Well, thank you so much for sharing and being so personal and candid. And I think it's a great blessing. It's helped me learn a lot. And I hope those that have been listening will take a quick look at their own experiences and the roles that our Father in Heaven has for them, as you have suggested. It's been a great pleasure. So thank you very much.
Thank you. It's been wonderful.
This has been Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.